My father, Francis Herries, once dreamed a dream. He had been to the races in Doncaster and afterwards stayed at an inn.
I wasn't drunk, David. I remember so clearly how I left my companions, went to my room, flung open the window, sat on a little chair, and leaned out into a night flaming with stars. And I swear I didn't fall asleep either. Yet as I looked into the stars, I saw an empty region of glittering, icy mountains. So pure and lonely they seemed, and a mere that was as black as steel in shadow. Then, a great white horse, more glorious than any horse that was ever seen, came to the mere and plunged in. He tossed his mane, and I could see silver drops flash in the freezing air. But when he reached the edge, I was seized with terror, because it seemed impossible that any horse could climb the icy sides of the cliff that ran sheer into the water. And I felt such a love for him, Dave. Such a tenderness. But he surged upwards across the ice and vanished. And where he had been, there was such loneliness. What did it mean? That nobleness and purity that was not to be caught or held. Something apart.
Something apart. As my father was always a man apart. He became more so after his dream, because the disappointment and restlessness it brought never left him. He was 25 years old, and it changed his life. 5 years later, it changed all our lives. For then, drawn by a wild romantic impulse, he uprooted his family from Doncaster and led us to another mountain fastness, a valley called Borrowdale, ringed by the Cumberland Fells, and a tumble-down ancestral house called Herries. I was 11 then, and the year was 1730, the year of our Lord and of the Devil.
Rogue Herries by Hugh Walpole. Dramatized in four parts by Eric Pringle. Part 1, Wilderness.
The journey was miserable. Roads full of mud and the weather growing colder the further we went. We had to abandon the coach at Kendal and continue on horseback. My father cursing. My mother, Margaret, terrified. Sister Deb crying. Sister Mary cross. Our governess, Alice Press, sulky and wanting my father to herself. And our servant, Benjamin, hankering after southern women. Only Father Roche was unperturbed, smiling to himself in that world of his own. It was a sorry cavalcade that clattered into a Keswick inn, where we were to meet our grand relatives, Uncle Pomfret and Aunt Janice Herries. Father demanded private rooms.
Benjamin, see to the horses. Blaster, you can drink later. Margaret, you must rest. Alice, put the children to bed. They have time to sleep before my brother comes. Come along.
I lay half awake watching Alice Press warming her legs at the fire with her skirt gathered up to her knees. I hated her because she was a witch and made my mother unhappy, and because my father crept in looking like a king in his grand clothes and put his hands on her eyes.
I know these fingers.
You should.
Oh, what fine feathers to meet your brother.
I would shame him, Alice.
I wish I'd not come on this mad journey.
Does that make you more content?
No, a kiss is nothing unless you love me.
What do you mean by love?
I mean all the things I'm enduring for you. The bruises and your wife's idiocies and your children wailing and you in a dirty temper. What do I get in return?
What is there to get? You chose to come. I told you you were heading for the end of the world. No roads, savages, a chill house with the rain always falling and only my body to comfort you. And that not very often.
It doesn't have to be like that. Take me away.
Alice, alone with me, you'd be in despair in a half hour. Come, wake the children. It's time.
But Francis...
Bless them for Granduncle Pomfret and superb Aunt Janet.
Wake up. Get up, you creatures. Hurry up.
Don't keep them waiting or I'll be blamed. Mary, don't look so smug.
I'm going to show them my humbug.
Deborah, stop snivelling. Why are you such a pathetic child?
Leave her alone. Hold my hand, Deb.
David, I hate how he's pressed.
Where's Father Ross?
Oh, who knows? About his Catholic scheming. All he cares about is his church and his king in Rome. I don't know what Francis sees in him.
You're jealous.
Mind your tongue. I take it from the father, but I will not from the son. Go now. Come on. Move.
Get a move on.
Here they are! Dammy, they're still asleep! Come to your uncle and aunt, babies!
Father stood very stiff beside Uncle Pomfret, who was 22 years older and looked and smelled as if he'd just got off a very wet horse. Aunt Janice was tall as a steeple, with a big brown wart on her cheek. Mother looked red and flustered at her side.
David, greet your uncle.
Sir, I'm pleased to meet you.
Well, damn me, I'm pleased to meet you. And your sisters. You shall all come home with us and meet your cousins. Hey, Francis.
I plan to be in our own house tonight.
Oh, we're all so tired.
Ross, going to Borrowdale in the wind and wet with darkness coming on.
Blast and damn you, brother. You must stay with us or prove yourself most unbrotherly. There's no road over to Hurry's. This griddling little inn is paradise to where you're going. Margaret, persuade him.
Oh, it's very kindly of you, Pomfret. We are weary and it's late.
Tomorrow would be time enough, Francis.
Margaret will be thankful enough when she's settled at Hurry's. We move in an hour. Now, our meal is ready and waiting.
Oh, blast and damn me, but this is a good wine. Drink up, Francis. Let me see you.
I can pace you, Pomfret, and pass you.
David, wine for you. You're man enough, eh?
Leave the boy alone, brother. He shall have wine when he wishes it. It shan't be thrust upon him.
Why, damn me, boy, dost thou not follow me, father, eh? He's a lecherous, foul-dealing knave enough. No hurries, and he ain't.
Pomfret, behave yourself. You must wash your spoons, Margaret, after the bees and bacon.
Must I?
It is the fashion.
I doubt fashion will bother us at Hurry's. Yet our great-great-grandfather Sir Francis was a courtier to Elizabeth when he built it and left his grand house setting to live there.
Grandfather Matthew couldn't stand her it at any price. He moved back to Seddon.
So did your father after he tried it. And ever since, it's been falling into ruin.
They say that whole valley is under a spell. The devil holds more sway in Borrowdale than anywhere else in England. He traps you there.
I had a dream sends me to Hurry's.
You are going to hell for a dream? Margaret.
Oh, I will go where my husband goes.
The more fool you, then.
David, find Benjamin. We must be going.
Peppermint young legs was shot, but I thought his honour would give us another hour's quiet and plenty. What's he going to be riding tonight for?
I don't know, Benjamin.
It's few like him for a restless spirit. There'll be some sport for Ryan Borrowdale, won't there? I might be a poor man and not bred for writing in accounts, but I know a dog when I see one. Come on, baby.
Oh, the rain has stopped, thank heaven.
But there's a great wind, Mother.
I want to sell my home back to my cousin.
Well, you're going to hell instead, Mary. We're all going. I can feel it in my skin.
You must send in a soon, brother.
Will you ride with me, David?
Yes, Father Ross.
The boy rides with me, Father. Up you get, David.
We must reach Hurry's together, you and I.
Are we all ready?
Farewell, brother.
Right, farewell.
Good fortune, Dorian.
We set off on the last journey, Mother riding behind Father Roche with Mary in her lap, and Alice Press with Deborah behind Benjamin. Leaning against my father's strong body, I felt an enormous happiness. The wind whipped our faces, our horses stumbled, the lake plashed in the dark, and the black shadows of the mountains loomed.
As fair as a swan, the fairest lily in all the land.
So, my little son, we're passing into dangerous country. There is only hay to eat, dirty water to drink, and it rains for 100 days. Will there be bears, do you think?
I don't know, Father. I hope so.
Does it seem to you as if we're escaping?
No, Father. You would never run away.
Are you so sure? I have run in my time. And this is the most perilous adventure of all. David, if I'm hard pressed, will you stay by me?
Always. I could never be frightened if you were there.
So we're together, side by side. Whatever the peril, forever?
Yes, sir.
We rolled through the hamlet of Grange and passed through a gateway of high rock into a little valley guarded by a ring of mountains. To me, who had all my life seen only shallow country, it seemed incredibly wonderful. A huge mountain detached itself from the sky and strode towards us.
The mountain is called Glaramara, David. And look! Over there! There is the house!
Behind a grass-grown courtyard, the house looked cold and desolate in the white moonlight. It seemed like two houses, high on one side with a gabled roof, and on the other shabby and low with farm byres at the end.
Goodbye. Here is Wilson, the houseman. Welcome home, my son. Come on, let's get down.
Thank your honor, comes early. But we are ready for you.
Amigo, father.
Oh, impatient, are you?
I wanted to be first in the house, so I ran across the threshold into a dining hall. And there, oh, there, like magic, the moon shone in and lighted two suits of armor, and a tapestry that teemed with horses and huntsmen, and a portrait of my ancestor, Sir Francis Herries, that was so alive his thin hand reached out of the picture and touched me in welcome. And I shook his hand in the moonlight and made my compact with the house. Next morning.
Benjamin! Now you can see it. How does this place seem to you?
Well, we'll be thrust on one another here for hitting the wave. But it's a good place for horses.
And for bathing. If you will do me the courtesy.
Oh, the pump! Your honour's a brave man.
Oh, the water's like ice. Oh, the house is tumbled down, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the farm buildings are ruinous. But I've taken the house and I'll hold by it unto death. And be proud of it, too. Come, rub me now. Make me glow, Benjamin. Oh, that's good. It's a Herries house and I'm proud of the clan, Benjamin. Though I think nothing of any of them in person. Oh, let me get me britches under for a turn to stone. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, Your Honor.
And care not.
No.
You're sodden with sleep. Well, I'll repay your courtesy and wake your stout body for you. Strip, you devil. Oh, I haven't seen so clear a water nor smelt so fresh an air for years. But if you don't like it, you can leave. I'll have no man who grumbles.
If I would leave you, master, I'd have left long ago. There's often been excuse enough.
Why do you stay, then?
There's no reason for why I do things. Where you are, there's food and dogs and horses and... I fancy life is the same anywhere in the world.
Who's the old woman by the house?
Oh, that's old Mrs. Wilson, the houseman's mother. They say she's a witch.
So Herries has its own devil, and she waved to me.
Still sleeping, Margaret. Well, you're happier so. Your anxieties sleep too. Why did I marry such a foolish woman? Was it youthful foolishness, vanity, or your money? All of that, I expect. And you were pretty then, before the children. And I cared for your innocence and your orphan loneliness. And I was flattered by the relentless adoration which so irks me now. Oh, Margaret! Why do you take my temper and faithlessness and still wag your tail like a dog? You make me ashamed of myself.
Francis?
It's time you were about, wife.
I was dreaming I was with my Aunt Hattie.
and her dog, Pompey. She was giving him chocolate.
Dear God.
Well, you're at Harry's, and the cesspool outside your window is in full stink, and there's a witch in the house. I saw her on a broomstick.
A witch? Do you jest, Francis?
Margaret, if the remoteness of Harry's depresses you, each year you must go for a spell to some town, York or Carlisle. Oh, I've done wrong to bring you to this forsaken country.
While you care to have me here, Francis, I care to stay.
Help! Teeth, you're an exasperating woman. Stay, then. Make friends with the pigs for all I care. I'm going into the hills. I'll have some food sent to you.
Yes, Francis. Thank you.
God!
Oh, Francis. Oh.
Steady, ma'am. Look steady. Are these the mountains of my dream? The little hills by the foreign sort, and yet they impress. But if this is the country I've been seeking, where is my great white horse? Always out of reach. Why have you brought me here? I'm young, I have talents. Why did you call me here out of the world?
Fine thread satins, both striped and plain, Persian nets.
Later, coming down from the hills, Father saw at a fork of the road a crowd gathered about a peddler, a thin scarecrow wearing a purple hat.
Necklaces, gold rings set with vermilion, red watch bottles ribbed with gold.
The peddler's sharp eyes flicked everywhere, especially at my father. There seemed to be recognition in his glance.
Yes, peddler, I know you. I fancy we'll meet again, you and I. Come on, boy.
The shadows of the hills now covered the valley, so he turned Mameluke for home.
Benjamin, see to the horse.
Yes, sir.
What the devil? If there's to be no peace even here. What's this? Sniveling again, Margaret. I said the boxes were to stay fastened until I opened them.
Yes, sir,
look at the mess. Who disobeyed me?
Have your gracious lady. Wait,
Francis, don't be angry. Oh. She
Benjamin!
Master.
What did I say about these boxes? Have you no wit, you lubber-pated bastard?
Master, what was it?
Beat it. Break the boobies out.
Take your coat off.
No,
To come from such an afternoon to this vileness.
No.
Stand up. Damn you.
No.
I'll teach you.
Leave him alone, he's
bring water.
Yes, Father.
This morning we washed each other as friends. Benjamin.
It was not by me the boxes were opened. I'll be rubbing the horses down.
It was a month before the valley let us out to visit Uncle Pomfret. During those first weeks it rained in a never-ending flood. Wind roared, the mountains crept closer, but my mother faced it all with courage and was almost happy.
Your father and I are more companions here than anywhere since we were first married, David. His degradation at Doncaster almost broke my heart. But at Harry's, he has begun a new life, and so I have too.
Lady Queen Anne, who sits in her stand.
It was true. Harry seemed to cast a spell on Father. He potted about the house, explored the hills and the lakeside, and made himself known to the local statesmen, those Borrowdale yeomen who are masters of their houses and owed allegiance to no one. The old witch, Grandmother Wilson, leaning on a stick with a white kerchief about her chin, kept watch on him. I saw how she smiled to herself and shook her head as if she was looking into his future. When at last we did get to Keswick, Father said he had things to do in the town, so Mother and I had to face Uncle Pomfret and Aunt Janice alone.
What is that? That is a macaw, Margaret.
Ooh.
And that is Peter, our little black servant. We bought them in London. You won't find many of those in Borrowdale.
Indeed, Janice, I have seen none so far.
Who is that ancient lady in there?
Don't mention that thing to me. It's Pomfret's Aunt Maria. 85 years old and wrinkled as parchment inside and out. She ought to be dead but refuses.
Come on, dear.
It seemed to me impossible that a person could look as old as Great Aunt Maria and live. I stared at her while Aunt Janice boasted.
This is the parlour, Margaret. Oh, this house must seem so elegant and spacious after the crowded hovel you live in.
Where are the children?
Oh, they have a room at the top of the house.
Oh, don't you miss them?
I miss many things. I'm sure my real life is somewhere else.
Where?
I've never been able to find out. Yam, Potter, and Nail.
I hope David is agreeable.
Shut up, Annabelle. How can I learn if you babble?
For my figure, I have to sit with this collar round my neck and a board tied to my back for half an hour every day. Why doesn't Annabelle?
Because she wants to be fat. But you'll be beautiful, Judith, and I will be clever. They say there are wolves in Briardale. I should like to see a wolf.
Children, your aunt and cousin are here.
Now you'll see a wolf, Raisley. David is here.
I shall slay him.
John David, isn't me young nephew and sister-in-law come to greet old Pomfret? And how fares me brother? Does he grow as ruinous as his house, eh, Margaret?
Well, what hill you think of the world it's brought you to? In winter you won't be able to move a step.
There's enough to do about the house to take a month of winters.
I was fixed by my great-aunt's eye like a rabbit by the eye of a snake. She was trying to tell me something.
Good God!
Stop her, Pomfret! Stop her!
God save his gracious majesty!
She did it on purpose!
God save his gracious majesty!
So their skeleton clattered out of the cupboard in front of their despised relatives. Great Aunt Maria was a fanatical Jacobite. But then my cousins arrived, and Raisley and I met for the first time, and hated each other on sight.
You're a fine boy, David. You shall come hunting with me. Can you ride?
Yes, Uncle.
Ah, that's more than Raisley can do. Won't you learn to please me, father boy?
I will learn, sir, if you wish it.
No, have I wished to have a milksop for a son. David's the lad knows a dog when he sees him.
Come and see us at Harry's, Raisley.
Yes, Mom. I will gladly see a wolf.
David has been in the mountains already. He'll show you wolves.
My cousin may know his little valley, but I shall know the world.
I know an enemy when I see one. Now my father arrived, looking so kindly and handsome in his dark suit and lace ruffles, he outshone everything else in the room.
Francis, you're welcome. I'm pleased to see you.
And I you, brother. Janice? David? Father Ross is waiting at the turn to cross Thwaite Church. Go and ride back with him. Your mother will ride home with me.
Yes, Father. I will. Father Ross?
Mr. Ross, from now on, David, if you please. The times are moving.
Mr. Ross, my great-aunt Maria said, God save his gracious majesty. Aunt Janice was vexed, so she must have meant the king in Rome. But it is forbidden to speak of him.
Come close, David, and listen. I have wanted to speak to you for a long time. Perhaps you are old enough now to understand. There was a king in England once, King Charles of blessed memory, who was a martyr. Wicked men slew him, and so interfered with one of God's most holy laws. The divine right he has given to those he has appointed as his rulers on this earth.
I would have died for that king.
I too, David. Since then, his family has been in exile, and God's face has been turned away from us. But the time may come when great events will shake even this valley, and every man will be challenged. Under which king? God's or man's? What will your answer be?
Under God's king, sir.
Good. Tell no one about this, not even your father. Wonder at nothing you may see me do. And wherever I may be, I shall know I can trust you. You will not be afraid if that day should come.
No, sir. Only my father. Will he be ready?
Every true man who loves his God and his country will be ready.
I fell asleep thinking how my loyalties were growing. To my father, who I loved so much. My mother, who loved me too much. My sister Deborah, who needed me so much. And now to this king in Rome. Life was filling with adventure.
Look at you! All the muck you've got into. Didn't I tell you not to go out? Oh, but I've no authority here, have I? Oh, Denny, not back from Keswick. Oh, I've hated this house from the moment I set foot in it.
I like it.
Oh, it's all right for you, but it's no life for one who's young and handsome enough for a frolic or two.
Why did you come here?
Oh, you're a child. How would you know what passes between a woman and a man? You all hate me, and most of all that priest.
He's not a priest now. He's only Mr. Rush now.
Once a priest, always a priest. Oh, there are laws against Catholics. And he's serving mass in that room upstairs. He'll be in prison if I have my way. Listen. David, will you speak to your father? He listens to you. Ask him if he will ride out with me for an hour. I would tell him certain things. I haven't been alone with him for weeks and I shall go mad this desire.
You must speak to him yourself. These past weeks he's had business in Keswick.
Oh, business. He's back to Doncaster business. Playing at cards and looking at the women.
It isn't true.
Stumbling about these mucky paths to find a girl with bright eyes.
You shan't speak against father.
Here he is.
Is he come, David? Is he come? Father, father,
you. Children, wife, something to eat and drink for the love of God. The wind blew against us like the plague. Benjamin, bring wine.
Here are bottles, master. I guess that was the way tonight.
You know me better than I know myself. Is that you, Alice, hiding in the shadow?
You've noticed me.
Have the babies been good?
Well enough. Remember what I asked, David.
I remember what?
Nothing, Father. Tell us about Keswick.
Oh, Keswick was a pool of muck. I saw your uncle. Margaret, dear Pomfret is to visit us tomorrow.
Oh.
He will condescend to make the journey.
What did you do today, Father?
What did I not do? Won 3 bets at cockfighting. Drank enough to make the world glow. Saw a dog killed at bull baiting. And 2 Quakers stripped and splashed with tar.
Oh.
Fill the glasses, Benjamin.
Oh, yes, Master.
Meg, I feel as young as David tonight.
Oh.
The devil of restlessness is off my back and everything seems fair. Even you.
Francis, my dear.
Oh, it's good to come home to my family. Well, if only my pack of demons will let me alone, I'll make a fine thing of this life yet. We'll play blind man's buff, and David shall be blind. Come here.
Oh, Lord, let this last a while.
Next morning, the valley was filled with light. It was a holiday, and I was going to ride to the valley end on Caesar, the pony Father had bought for me from our nearest neighbour, Statesman Peel. I would fish in the stream below Stye Head, and watch for a wolf prowling under Glaramara.
David, may I come with you?
No, Deb, I'm going alone, but I'll be back by dusk, so don't be afeard.
I'm always afeard, except where you are.
You'll be all right. I have to read the life of King Arthur to Mother first. She'll ask me where I'm going, and I don't want to tell her.
Oh, to be told my place before all the household by such a one as you.
Mother?
Leave me, David. This is too vile. You would teach me my proper order. You, who have not order of your own children nor your husband to bed with you.
I will not have you abuse your privileges. It was not my wish that you came here.
God knows I have surrendered many of my proper rights, but I am mistress of this house.
Oh, such a fine house, but no mistress. Ask your master his pleasure in Keswick and the drabs he fumbles. His name's a byword already.
Enough! I've suffered your company long enough, Mrs. Press. Now, it is you or I who go.
Then go! I would not go at your bidding. I would do nothing at your bidding, nor would anyone else. You could not order a mouse. Oh, I could tell you things that'd make your eyes sore.
Well, here is a scramble. The whole house shares in it.
Francis!
Mother, take my hand.
Mrs. Press complains I ordered her unjustly before the servants. She's been impertinent.
Your wife has forgotten I have my place here.
Your place?
No place unless you fulfil it.
I have fulfilled it. It is you who have neglected to keep me in it.
Oh, that may be, Alice. There is much to do and so little time to see to it all. Now I advise that you leave us. Wherever your place may be, it is not in this room. You should know better than to suffer her impertinence, May. Well, you won't suffer it much longer.
I'll never speak to Alice Pris again.
Oh, God.
Because I rode out in anger, I met the devil. Beyond the few fields around Rothswaite, the country was a lost land, untenanted by man and dominated entirely by the mountains that hemmed it in. There was a path up to Honister, where the mines were, but that was forbidden because rascals scraped among the mine refuse for scraps of plumbago to sell to the Jews in Keswick. There were battles between robber gangs, and you might find a dead man stripped naked with a knife in his belly.
Look at the mountains! Look at the mountains!
It grew very wild. Sunshine flooded the land, but I watched for clouds, for in that country the sky is more changeable than any other in the world. But it stayed fine, and I fished under the bridge, and the devil came.
The sun is too strong for fishing.
That's true. You're a peddler! I'll buy something for my sister
there. There is nothing in my pack for you. But here is a little box of silver for you to keep.
I haven't enough money.
It is a gift. Keep it until your marriage day.
I shall never marry.
You will marry and have fine sons.
How do you know?
I know everything. I am the devil.
The devil could show me good fishing.
There is good fishing everywhere if you have patience. You have it. And courage. Two stupid qualities that will carry you through the world. Good day, boy. We shall often meet one another.
Where have you been? You've missed your uncle.
I saw the devil by the bridge. He gave me this.
Ooh, very pretty. How did the devil look?
He was a peddler.
I know him. David, I love no one but you in all the world, and I hate your uncle for a patronizing fool. I'll twist his neck if he comes here again. You should have seen him, stepping over the muck, fat as an otter and red as a baby's bum. I'll warrant he's sad he has his good-for-nothing brother here. I'm a blot on his famous reputation, but I'll stay. I'll stay.
I like it, Father. Borrowdale is mine.
Ours. Oh, my brother's boy is smug and gives him no joy. I can beat him there. David, remember this day, because from now on, we shall be alone against the world, you and I.
After that, Father scorned Uncle Pomfret and refused to set foot in his house, and he scorned Alice Press. She made a mistake the day she insulted my mother, for he would have no one rude to her but himself. Now he was determined to be rid of her. His chance came when we had been 2 years at Harry's, exactly a year after Father Roche left us without warning. The day before, he had beaten me to keep her quiet.
I'll put up with it no longer. Month after month, your son's stubbornness has abused me. Make him answer.
David, speak to Mrs. Press.
I will not, Father.
I will whip you for disobedience.
I will not whip him.
Take off your shirt. Speak to Mrs. Press. Speak.
Hit him until he gives in. Make him speak to me.
Your back is bleeding. Put on your shirt.
Yes, Father.
Now, will you speak to her?
No.
Come, I'll give you ointment.
Father, will you take me to the fair tomorrow?
I will.
That was Alice Press's second and fatal mistake. For the very next day was the day of Keswick Fair. In the morning, Father walked out as usual. When he returned, old Mrs. Wilson met him in the dining hall.
You are
grand way out your court. Where is it?
Out on the Wattenleth path, I met a dead man with his throat cut and a woman shivering beside him.
You gave your fine plum coat to her. You're not to give it. It'll be remembered.
I'm doomed anyway, Grandmother. Oh. And I'm going to the fair. They say a company of Chinese travels with it.
Oh, you're like a schoolboy. But you to be careful, mind. Things are remembered.
Francis? You'll take me with you?
No, Alice.
You promised.
I break my promise.
It'll be like one of our old times.
Old times never return.
Yes. When two have loved one another as we have.
Love? It's over, Alice. I never promised fidelity and I never loved you. I've never loved anyone but my son. Go back to Doncaster and forget me.
Is that your last word?
David! David!
The fair was such a glory, it seemed there had been nothing in the world like it before. There were so many booths and stalls, the lake was invisible, and on every side were wonders.
Here is dancing on the ropes after the Italian fashion, and two famous French maidens, and men in all places and countries.
An excellent new droll called The Tempest, with the comical humours of the enchanted Scotsman.
Is it not grand, my son? We'll have a day here.
I like it fine, Father.
I was caught in a web of colour, smells, noises, people, mummers in gold and blue, tumblers somersaulting, a monkey dragging a silver chain, a black woman selling rings, men fighting before a shouting crowd, and everywhere eating and drinking. And I lost my father and found myself at the booth where the Chinamen were. A shriveled man, 300 years old, stared at me and made me feel something terrible was going to happen to my father. He was in danger. I had to protect him. I ran outside.
Here is a lad sprucking up your hog above 10 foot long, and a little hairy pygmy from the deserts of Arabia.
And found him beside a purple-faced woman selling wine.
David! Did you think I was lost?
Yes, Father. I'm hungry.
Well, we'll eat then. Come! Let's find a hostelry.
What'll it be, Master? Pudding, roast beef, boiled beef, ox trot, pigeon.
A drink with you, sir. My name is Rosen from Kendall. I came here to see handsome women, but by Jesus, there are none.
There are several.
May I be honoured by knowing your name, sir?
Charles Henry Nathaniel Winchester, Duke of the Pyrenees and the Amazon. Leave me be, David.
I knew now that my father, with his wild imagination and wilder demons, was weak where I would never be. And I felt uneasy because around us was some who recognized him and watched him closely. There was much wonder about Francis Herries and his dangerous liking for women, and why he had exiled himself in Borrowdale with a Roman Catholic priest, a witch and a mistress he flaunted in his wife's face. Then, out of nowhere, Alice Press appeared and sat beside him.
I have come, you see. Father, I want you to go.
Sit still, David. So, Alice, this is how it ends.
Will you give me something to eat?
Now she saw that all eyes were on her.
A kind fella from Seathwaite brought me. But this is a gay fair. Will you buy me something?
Yes, I'll buy you something.
Is this your lady, sir? She is indeed fair. Madam, you honour us by your presence.
And will you take me to see the sight? It's time you showed me the world again.
I will show you the world. Alice, you took this on yourself. Now you must take the consequences. When we leave this tent, we part.
Huh? Yes, they so, sir.
No, Francis.
You go no more to Harry's.
What?
This is too public a play.
Tell me you understand. At the door, we part.
You bought me, so you'll keep me.
If I bought you, I can sell you again.
Francis, I did wrong to come, I admit it. I'll do anything you want.
I bought you, and now our bargain being ended,
I will sell you again.
You, sir, how much will you give me?
Sir, you insult the lady.
Now we are weary of one another and would part. But she is mine, and I would have compensation.
I'll pay you for this.
Stay where you are. This lady is for sale to the one who will bid the highest.
Who wouldn't have a five selfish
shillings? You're a filthy dog and shall be caned for this.
Will you give me 40 shillings, Mr. Rosenblatt?
Oh, that's more than this.
40 shillings for this fair woman?
I will. I'll take her if she's willing. And care for her too. There. For you, sir.
Oh, I drink to you both.
You will never be free of this.
Hey, wait, lady. I bought you.
Wait. Here, come
here. We'll go now, David.
Alice Press spoke true. My father would never be free of that deed. The clouds it raised gathered about Harry's and shut us off from the outside world.
Blast and damn! The place rings with it! To sell his woman in public for 30 pieces of silver!
Judas! He's not!
He's no brother of mine after this. What do you think this does to the Harry's reputation?
No! Francis is no Harris. He's a fantastic rogue!
Rogue Harris! Rogue Harris!
Shut up, Raisley! Or I'll kill you!
Rogue Harry's. The name stuck and marked my father with a kind of apartness, and our family is different from others. It made me see he could do shameful things and yet feel no shame. But because I no longer worshipped him, I loved him even more, with a brotherly love that must guard and protect this man who moved under an influence that was straight from the devil.
Owen again! Kiss me, my beauty!
With passing years, he grew stouter and more slovenly and careless. He did not appear to feel his apartness and had friends in Keswick, but I knew he also carried a secret life within him and was never for an instant unaware of it. We all changed, as life and the world change. My mother was happier without Alice Press, was unaware of other mistresses, and asked no questions. Mary grew handsome and ambitious, and at 14 turned her face to Keswick. Deborah was pale, thin, and so silent everybody ignored her. But she had a rare, sweet spirit, and showed me love and beauty.
Look at the colours in the sky. And listen, do you hear the swallows sing? Oh, how low their voices are. Hold my hand, you giant.
Come on, Deb.
Oh, David, wait for me. Stop on the front.
She was a lone spirit like father, the only citizen of her mysterious world. I was a giant to her because I was growing tall and broad and strong. These were happy years for me. I learned all the secrets of my valley, and there wasn't a Christmas feast, Easter pace-egging, rush-bearing, Halloween or wedding that didn't have David Harry's in it somewhere. In 1737, 5 years after the Chinese Fair, when I was nearly 18, two great events occurred. I met my uncle, Harcourt Harry's, at Ravenglass on the Cumberland coast, and my father met his fate.
Brother Harcourt is like no one you've ever met, David. He's a scholar and has lived in the great world, so he can answer all those questions you keep plaguing us with. Be wary of him, though. He's a Jacobite, romantic jackanapes. Don't let him talk you over.
Where did Father Rosh go?
Oh, him. To Rome. To tie the pretender's shoestrings. He's a fool, but he had a power over me. If ever he returns, it will be for no good.
Well, he didn't think so.
There's Harcourt's house. He'll find no woman there. In his youth, Harcourt was crossed in love. Now he cannot abide women at any price.
Uncle Harcourt was small, thin, delicate as china, and elegantly dressed in old fashion. At 49, he was 12 years older than my father, but he might have been his father. He was refined and gentle, and I loved him on sight.
When I look out of this window, I can see Romans and the men of the Middle Ages, and all the busy citizens when Ravenglass was a prosperous town. They crowd me with strange, distant voices.
You're a romantic fool, brother.
That is unkind, Father.
Do you dare to say so?
A conflict was starting between Father and me, and I didn't know why. Next day, he went out by himself, and Uncle Harcourt talked to me about his days as a boy in Queen Anne's London, and about his books, and about his brother.
Your father and I were very close once, but I haven't seen him for 6 years, and his appearance distresses me. He was always different from others, David, capable of great things, but with something preventing him, some instability. A loneliness in his spirit torments him. No one can reach it.
I try.
My brother has bred his greater self in his son. You will fulfill his dearest hopes. And that gives me great happiness.
A pretty picture. I see I'm not wanted.
Francis, join us.
My father sulked and our conflict grew. I was ashamed for him. How could he repay courtesy with such childishness? Then, after our evening meal, Uncle Harcourt raised his glass.
I give you a toast. The true king.
No! I'll have none of that Jacobite humbug. The boy has enough nonsense in his head.
Father!
I have drunk my toast in my own house! There!
Forgive me, Harcourt. I'm too serious. I've had a day with ill thoughts for company. David, will you walk out with me?
I won't have you play with this Jacobite folly. You're a child.
I'm not a child, and I must have my own judgment. Uncle is kind, but today you left him...
Right! Right! I'll not sit idly by and have a babe read me a lesson.
I'm nearly a man. It's time to think for myself. Oh, Father, I love you as I love no one else. There's a bond between us we can have with no other, but I'm my own man. I'll lead my own life.
What about duty? When I say bend, you'll bend. You're mine, my fine son. So, strip, and I'll run you naked into the sea and cool your Jacobite notions.
No, Father.
You will not?
I will not.
You had better obey.
I will not.
Why, you puppy!
Never strike me like that again!
Give me my cane!
Now you must swim for it.
Today I've suffered torture for you.
Why?
All my life I've lost everything I held dear. I've tried to prepare myself for you to go like the rest. Even when you were a baby, I'd watch you and say, now, in a moment, his eyes will change. You'll know me for a rogue.
No, Father.
And then, as one accident after another passed, and you were still the same, I'd say, he's only a child. He isn't old enough to understand. And when my temper or lust drove me, I thought, this will take him away the sooner.
Father, this is
foolish. And today, watching your happiness with your uncle, I went out so that he could tell you everything. I thought, when I return, he'll know me for what I am. And our time together will be over. Then everything will have gone from me, and I need fear no more. And I came in and I saw his arm about your neck, and I hated you. Loving you never so dearly as then. And now... One day you'll go from me.
I could never leave you and Deb. I'm simple, but the easier faithful for it. I've noticed that it's those who have much fancy who are really steadfast.
Like me? Huh? I have it in me to be faithful. If ever I find the right cause or person, I can dream of beauty. And if one day it's put in my hand,
that will be a rare day.
Stay with me, David. I'm going the wrong way. It doesn't matter. It's only another man lost. But one day I may be true to something. And I'd have you witness it.
I'll be there, Father. I shall never leave you.
Oh, you made a promise there. I'll hold you to it. I must have something for my cane. Let's get back to your hermit uncle.
Christmas that year changed our lives. December was wonderful. Borrowdale barred its door, the hills were powdered with snow, and in every house there was baking and brewing.
Deb, you've made enough puddings and pies for old Cumberland. I'll take some.
Oh, those are for Christmas!
Oh, I'll stuff myself and everybody will say how fat and ugly you've made me.
They will not.
They'll say I'll make you even more splendid. Statesman Peel says people already tell stories about your strength, and you bent an iron bar in his kitchen.
Because Rendell wagered I could not. Oh, Deb, why do they hate Father so?
Oh, because they can't understand him, nor he them.
Do you understand him?
I think so. He dreams of what life should be, and because it fails, he abuses it.
So they abuse him? Children run away from him. Father seems more alone than anyone else in the world. No one here is his friend. I love the valley, but it traps him. Deb, I don't understand him either.
Because you're too straightforward.
I am. I love every day, and just to be alive is enough for me. I'm afraid for him.
I also.
We must protect him.
Yes. Can we?
Oh, what's this? You look solemn enough for a funeral. It's Christmas Eve, and tomorrow we're for Peel's party.
Come in, how are you, said Peel? Have you had any news then?
Al Peel's house glowed with warmth and hospitality. The door opened to the stars in the hard-frosted road. Rushlights blew in the wind. Trestles groaned with food. And the dancing.
Come on in, Arlen. Yeah. Francis, you must sit by me.
Mary, Deb, my lasses are over there, look.
Davy, where's the mother? She has a pain in her chest. But she doesn't want Father to know.
Well, maybe it's good to rest and pick her up.
I hope so. There's Rendell waiting for thee. Francis, my man, what do you think on this then?
I would set the world like this. Eating, drinking, singing, fornicating.
Ah, you would.
I love the faces. Owl faces, pig faces.
The faces are watching you.
Waiting for me to disgrace myself. But I won't shame you. They think I have a devil in me and wait to see him come out. And talk of devils.
Ah, here's old peddler coming over to see you. Jackson, man, good day.
You're not dancing, sir.
In my own time.
It's time, yours.
For a spell.
Oh, a spell. Look, here are strangers.
I saw them that instant. A rough-looking man with a nervous woman and, pressed against her side, a child with a face white as moonlight and hair that fell to her waist the colour of flame.
That child's head is on fire.
Come and burn your hand in it.
Are you tempting me?
Hey, Jane Starr.
I know you, sir, but you have forgot me.
I fear I have.
Once you gave me your coat.
That was you. And is this your child?
Yeah. Her father was the dead man you saw.
How old is she?
Eight.
Eight? I'm 37. What is her name?
Mirabel Starr.
Mirabel? Shall we be friends?
If my mother wishes.
Where do you live?
We're from Ennerdale, sir.
We're no settled place. I'm a horse dealer.
May I touch your hair, my pretty? Look how it plays on my hand like music. Let me give you a gift. Here. It is a charm against the ague. A negro's head in gold with ruby eyes. Take it.
It's pretty. Thank you.
Let me kiss you. I wish you a good day, Jane Starr. What does it mean?
You will see.
You're not taking your coat. It'll be remembered. Remember!
Mirabel.
Are you all right, Father?
Poor little Misery. What a life she must have with such a man and his company.
They're gone.
This is out of control. Christ's day is over.
What's this?
The Lord of Misrule. David, get your sisters home, then come back here. Hurry!
The party had ridden all the way from Kerry, drinking at every stage. The Lord of Misrule and his followers, a jester and a hobby horse, and old Father Neptune and an aged lady.
Hurry, David!
Mary! Deb! Come away too, Father!
You must stay, Mr. Harry.
This is not for me.
Eyes are upon you. You're wanted here.
Do you challenge me, peddler?
Others may. See, here is a jester for you.
Do you not know me, Mr. Harris?
I think we have been together at Keswick. That's cockfighting and cards.
You took money from me! And my girl!
Mr. Richard Osborne is sown by my life.
Victor, my friend, but not to you, sir.
I will not quarrel here. Good evening to you.
I'll have no good evening from you. You're a liar and a cheat, Mr. Harris. And maybe a coward.
Hey! Do you say so? Very well. You bring this on yourself, I'll meet you outside.
Right, come and
this must not happen, peddler.
It is happening. You cannot prevent it.
Will you do me a service then and be my second?
It's cold as death out here. For God's sake, Mr. Harris, this must be avoided.
If he will apologize.
I will not.
Be on your guard, then.
I ran back with a premonition of dread. Too late. The youth was no swordsman, and my father knew he could kill him whenever he would. But when Osbaldiston was at his mercy and he saw his terror...
I could kill you, boy, but I will not. Honor is satisfied.
Mine is not.
Ben Strauss, he's put up his sword!
Father, look out!
You bastard, Ellis!
Osbaldiston's blade carved my father's right cheek in two. He fell with his face flooding with blood.
Good Christ, that's enough! Father! Father!
When I reached him, the peddler's hand was on his arm.
In part one of Rogue Harris by Hugh Walpole, dramatized by Eric Pringle, Gavin Muir was Francis, Mark Bonner David, Janet Moore Margaret, Jane Whittenshaw Deborah, Hugh Dixon Father Roche and Harcourt, and Jane Slavin Alice Press. Stephen Thorne was Uncle Pomfret, Shirley Dixon Aunt Janice, Chris Pavlo Benjamin, Ewan Meredith the Peddler, and Gerard McDermott Statesman Peel. George Maguire was young David, Katie Clark, young Deborah, and Joseph Head, Raisley. Other parts were played by Robert Harper, Alex Lowe, Alison Pettit, Christopher Scott, and members of the company. Rogue Harris is directed by David Blount.